You're listening to Black Girl Blueprint.
Because Black girls did it first.
And honestly, better.
Period.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Black Girl Blueprint, your fave podcast for all the Gen Z Black girl tea. My name's Lauren.
My name is McKean, and thank you guys for tuning into today's episode.
Welcome back, everyone. I feel like it's been a hot minute since our last
hot minute. A 100 degree minute, for real.
We've been on quite the hiatus, one could say, and it's been for a good reason, I think. We've just been like living in a constant state of chaos. Also, if you can hear from my voice, I think I have a bit of a cold, but in general, I've just been weary. So I think I sound weary and aged because of what the past couple months. But we graduated college, which is a huge accomplishment, I think.
Sure.
Give a little bit of like a little clap.
Everybody clap at home. Thank you.
All the applause. And for all of y'all out there too, if you graduated, that's a big step. Great for you. We are still so happy.
Congratulations. It really has been like wild. I don't think people tell you about this like post-grad transition period. And like, we've been talking about it with our friends and it just felt appropriate for us to do an episode on it. So thank you for being patient with us. We needed a break, y'all. We needed to process the past 4 years of our life. And, you know, before we could process it on this podcast, we really had to take some time to think. So we appreciate it. All the new emotions, everything that's happened to us. But anyways, that's today's episode. We're unpacking the post-grad teams and a lot to talk about.
Yeah. There's like big girl jobs to get into. There's like new apartments. There's just like so many feelings also that get mixed up in here. Also conflicting emotions. Like you're excited on one hand, terrified on the other hand. So we just
sad, confused.
Also sad and confused. All of it. So we just hope that you all can relate. Honestly, we just want y'all to feel seen and like you're not going through this alone. And yeah, we just want to shed some light of this. Maybe some advice. I don't know if we can help, but we'll try.
Right.
We'll just shoot.
We can at least be
together and be excited together. Mm-hmm. And that'll be our little vibe.
Period.
Part.
That's the mission. Okay, let's go. All right. So first,
read the room.
Of course, we have to read the room.
Absolutely.
So read the room. If you're new here, if you forgot, read the room is how we open up every episode. It's our little like pop culture tea session. We talk about the tea in our lives. We talk about the tea in y'all's lives. We talk about the tea on Twitter, of course. So we have all of that today.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is on the roster for the moment. First, we're just going to give a little brief life update, let y'all know what's going on. And then we'll get into the Twitter tea.
There is Twitter
tea. So, of course, you know, the pot's always full over there. But anyways, okay, life updates. As we said, we graduated. Guys.
It was so exciting. It was exciting, but it was also stressful and chaotic.
Yeah.
Do you want to go
talk about the day of?
You want to talk about the day of? Give us your rundown of the day of.
Graduation day of. I had to wake up at 6 a.m. I had to be at the graduation by 7. And it was a full day thing. I had the morning ceremony with the whole university. Then I had like in between there was department lunches and you're supposed to like take your family to meet all your professors. And then after it was the Barnard like college specific graduation. So honestly, by that time, like I didn't cross the stage until 8 p.m. pretty much. Mm-hmm. And like I'd been up for 12 hours at that point and hadn't had a legitimate meal at all. And I don't even think I felt it. Like I was really trying hard to be present. Like when they were about to call my name, I was like, okay, let me just like remember this. Like let me be here. And it was so quick. It was done in a moment. I was like, did anyone get a photo? Like, does anyone remember? One thing I will say though that was a highlight for me. I have a Z last name. My last name is Zachary. And I was called second to cross the stage, which was a surprise because of my Africana major. So that was the first time in my life I was not last, and it was incredible.
As you should. That's so good. I love that. Graduation was chaos. I agree. So Barnard's graduation was all in one day, which was a hot mess. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry they did that to you, but that's also so on brand.
Thank you.
So on brand
right.
for this entire
just one last hurrah.
Right. Columbia split us into 2 days. So we had our like class day, which was just for mine was Columbia College and then like all the other classes and theirs. And then commencement was the next day, but both of them were 7 a.m. or like 7 or 8 a.m. had to be up by 7 to try to get dressed.
Yeah.
And also like my family came all the way from the Bahamas. And for those of you who don't know, there's like a limited amount of like tickets that you can get. And my mom was very, very adamant about bringing everybody. Everyone's got to come and see Lauren graduate. So they got this like Airbnb in Long Island. And for those of you who don't know, like anything about like New York geography, let me lay it out for you. So like that's like an hour and a half trek, but like by like a train, you know?
Right, by public transit,
By public transit, it's a hot mess. And I had to like go and take them a suitcase back and forth. It was just a hot mess, especially for people who like don't know public transit. Yeah. So they didn't even come for the second day because it was also hot.
No, I should also mention. Anything. I told my family not to come to that part because it was just like, bro, they don't even, that's the thing that they don't tell you at graduation. Like, it's not personal. Anxious to see, like,
at all. Like, even like our, like, the people that they got to speak for us, they didn't care about us one
not
bit.
At all.
The man went up there for our class day and he just talked about himself the whole time and maybe like thought he had some like insight or like gems literally to share about adulthood. He didn't teach me shit. I didn't learn anything from that man I couldn't have learned from like a Twitter or a TikTok, you know, that the girls were doing. But it was so silly. It was stressful. I am grateful, though. It was very, like, fun and fresh, I think. In retrospect, more now than I felt during the time when it was happening. But just, like, seeing all the people, like, from freshman year that you hadn't seen or, just, like, I don't know, like, the sea of blue, the sea of Pantone 292. I was like, stop.
My gosh. I cannot.
It was so silly.
No, I definitely did, like, getting dressed up. Loved getting my hair done and everything, even though I sweated out before I even got to the commencement ceremony, but it's fine. You know, I got the photos at home in the AC before everything was done. So that was a highlight.
As you should.
It was fun.
That's good.
It was a day.
There was so much prep that went into that. One of like my mishaps that I had, and I had so many different mishaps. Like they don't tell you how much like prep goes into it. I didn't have a graduation dress until like the day before I was supposed to get my photos done. And I was like all through like whatever Midtown where all those like shops are and like Bloomingdale's and Macy's and all them trying to find a dress, couldn't find a single one. And I tried to get my nails done and she made them neon, so I had to like paint over them.
Oh my god,
it was just a hot mess as well.
You didn't ask, what color did you ask for?
I don't know, it looked like it was her first day and I get nervous.
I can't.
I was like, because she'd already like, she did my toes too, and she'd already messed those up and she had to like go over a specific toe a couple times, and I don't get my nails done off.
I'm sorry, where did you go? So I don't go there.
That's so funny. I'll tell you after.
Okay.
But we'll never go there again.
Yeah, don't go to where Lauren got her nails did, y'all.
Truly. But it was such a silly day. And then Columbia made us move out the day after graduation, and I will never forgive them for that. Couldn't even celebrate. Like, you graduate, and then you're packing the entire day to move out by noon the next day.
Wow, y'all got noon? Crimes. Barnard told us to move out by 10.
By 10?
By 10 the following morning, even though we had literally full day from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. the day before. Isn't that foul?
That's so
like,
foul.
Isn't that
That's foul.
Like, people were up all night, like, packing with their families, like, just, like, wanting to do celebration dinners, and they're like, no, I literally moved out where I'm getting it fine.
They're so
like,
silly, which is why, not gonna miss anyways, it. But anyway. Them, huh?
Yo,
so speaking of moving, we did have to move, and then that's like the next part of our updates. Yeah. We're in like our new apartments for the next year. That's so exciting.
Hey, Alexa played New Apartment by Ari Lennox. That's how Harper, I feel.
That is how I feel. I listened to that in the shower yesterday, or the day I moved in too. I was just like, oh,
wow,
walk around naked.
Literally, me and my no furniture having spells, but feeling grown.
Yep,
don't have a couch. All I have is two folding chairs. But it's
I love
fine.
That.
This is luxury. This is like grown up adult life. Good. Like. This is what they told us about.
Really? You've got so much sunlight in your apartment, though. That's really nice.
Oh, yeah, no, I love my apartment. I moved from Harlem to Bed-Stuy. So, again, for the non-New York folks, I moved from Manhattan to Brooklyn. And I'm enjoying it. I was, like, at first I was like, I really love Harlem. But Bed-Stuy is so classic, all the brownstones. I feel like I'm in a little Spike Lee movie. I live right across from a park, so there's always, like, some old head in there with, like, a speaker, just, like, living his best life. If I open my window right now, you would hear his mix, like... Really great. I'm enjoying it. So loving it out here. If any of y'all live in Bed-Stuy,
link up. That's so funny. Also, a big improvement. We used to record in McKean's apartment and she used to live next to like the train, the subway that was so loud. And as me who edits these episodes, it was terrible for us trying to record.
Edit
those out. Thank you for bearing with us. If it was a little choppy, I'm sorry. We did our best. Especially recording at rush hour.
Yep. Oh my god.
Oh my goodness.
It train would come every 4 minutes on both directions. Yeah, too much. But we're good now. We have silence. We have We have things that will allow for good quality audio. So guys, just bring your leveling up.
For me, I also moved into a new apartment. So I live on the Lower East Side now. Again, this is very New York specific. But we were in Upper Manhattan for college, and now I live in Lower Manhattan, but on the East Side. It's like a cool neighborhood. I really like it. It's very like, think like funky, kind of like grimy, indie-ish New York, but not Brooklyn, but just kind of like, I don't even know how I would describe it. Just kind of like trendy. There's like a lot of stuff going on like at night. A lot of the time I'm like right across the street from a cool ice cream place that I like, which is fun. I'm all about the food, which is great.
You're also on the street with like all of the clubs.
With all of the clubs too. There's like a really famous bar and club. That's kind of what I meant by trendy. I'm like, this is where the party be happening. Like when the girlies are going out in New York, they're coming down to the Lower East Side. They're on my street.
Walking past your house.
Maybe it's loud, but that's not my problem. That's my roommate's problem. But it's
I love this for you. Yeah. Look at us being adults. Crazy. Can't believe it. Before we get into all the feelings, though, the associated emotions, because there are a lot of them. Mm-hmm. There are a whole lot of them.
Yes.
They don't tell you. They don't tell you how to process about. We have some Twitter tea, of course, to discuss. Some TikTok tea today, actually, rather. Yeah. So first, we are talking about Lip Gloss's video on TikTok. Let's give you some background. So for those of you who don't know, a TikToker, she goes by Lip Gloss. Mm-hmm. She's 19. She's Black. She posted this video about having type 4 hair, 4C hair specifically, and about how, like, she's done manipulating it. Like, you know, no more stretching it. Like, even all the natural styles that require all of this, like, tweaking of what your hair actually looks like, she's over it. Like, you're going to get my wash and goes. You're going to get the shrinkage. Like, shrinkage is not the devil. Like, whatever.
Absolutely.
And then she threw in this line about, at the end of the video, like, a joking line. And she was like, you know, I might only pull white men now, but, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And the way that set Twitter off, like the first thing
in a frenzy,
like in a vile, vicious, like evil way, like, because it was an uplifting video. It was a positive video and people just were pissed. Like the first thing I saw was this Black girl and she tweeted about like, oh, you think you're not going to pull Black dudes because of your hair? Like, no, it's because you don't shave your armpits and it's because your room is a mess and it's because this, that, and the third, and like going in on this girl's life, like screenshotting the video in random frames, like trying to make these whole things about it. And it was just like, I don't know why that upset the woman so much. And then, you know, Black men just ran.
There was some debate because she had said like whatever pulling white men, and they were like, oh, like white people were the ones who like, you know, were like against our hair in the first place, like they were the ones who like taught us the hair. I'm like, first of all, where is the critical thinking skills was my question,
right?
Because I feel like this is like a common thread that I see in like the like Twitter discourse of people not understanding the difference between like institutional oppression and how that does not like in negate or doesn't necessarily have to be the same thing as like a personal
experience with an individual, or,
like,
right?
Individual, yeah. Like,
exactly.
Of course, we know what the white man did. We know what the white man did.
Right.
That doesn't mean that these white boys, like, in our personal, you know what I mean? Like, that literally, one doesn't discount the other. And I'm like, how do you feel like you're making points, babe? Was my question.
Right. Also, let's talk about like all of those stories of those clubs that were run by Black dudes that would be like,
absolutely.
I'm not even, I mean, there were like rules about how to wear your natural hair. Like, yeah, like, I'm just saying, I don't know. And I mean, a lot of Black women were coming out and were just being like, she's not wrong. Like, when I wear my hair, like, actually straight up natural, like, niggas do not be complimenting me. And so, what now? Like, are you guys gonna say that that's not true? And so, like, it was crazy. Like, there was this Black dude who screenshotted her video, like, wanted to disprove her so badly that he screenshotted her video, put a bunch of photos of her up on a Hinge profile, like made a Hinge profile for a 19-year-old just to tell her, like, look, you did get liked by Black men, so you're wrong. Like, so, imagine,
it's, I don't know, it's illness, it's violence,
it's sick. I feel for her. Like, I hope she's covered in love. I hope she knows she has the support of all the Black girls behind her. Her hair looks so cute, warm like that. She made a good point, like, shrinkage is not the devil. We really have to work to relearn all these things about ourselves, and it's a shame that like that point got watered down to this weird like interracial like gender debate or whatever it is now,
or like a conspiracy against our black men. I hate that.
Yeah, I mean, like it wasn't even about y'all, like
at all. Like stay out of black women's business. But also her video was so uplifting, and I follow her on TikTok. Like I knew her before all this happened, and I loved her videos. And that was like the third or fourth video that she had made in that kind of like series, like trying to uplift like black girls to wear their natural hair.
Yeah,
it's such a common struggle or like feeling that I feel like is so like central to like the way that black girls understand our hair. Like we know we're taught to call it difficult. We think it's like unmanageable, like there's extra things that we need to do to go into our
hair.
And trying to unlearn those is so important, but also seeing her do it was such an inspiration to other girls too.
Yeah, like the actual, like so many people's hair looks like that. My hair looks like that if I don't do anything to it. Like and it's crazy how even within the natural hair movement there isn't room for that conversation. Absolutely. Like even within the natural hair movement, you know, type 4 girls are, you know, tasked with stretching it and like making it look longer and making it look silkier, curlier, whatever it might be. And I mean, I commend the girl. She's 19. She's living her best life. She looks beautiful.
She does look
beautiful. She's doing the thing that we all need to do. She's doing the thing that a lot of us could learn from. And like, I hope that she's able to, like, I don't even want to call it advocacy, but I just like hope she's able to live her best life, because I think that example is needed for a lot of other black girls. Like, and it's powerful in spite of the fact that it has resulted in so much backlash for her, which is crazy. But yeah. Yeah. Enough about that. But we love this girl. Absolutely. We are excited for her.
We're holding hearts. We love you.
For real.
I don't even know if we want to talk about this next thing, but do we?
Chloe having another baby with that man that cheated on her 3 times. My only take is that, well, okay, sorry. Just for context, because there is a chance in which you don't know about these things. And if you don't know, like, tell me how you live your life, because I wish I didn't know. But Khloe Kardashian is having a baby again with Tristan Thompson, AKA NBA player who never seems to be playing basketball, AKA man who's cheated on her 20 times and has had like 3 kids outside of their relationship. But anyways, they're having a son apparently by surrogate that was conceived in November, and it was just come out, and it's like this is after the most recent like cheating scandal, which is like 5th one. And yeah, I mean, everyone's dogging Khloe, of course. I feel for that girl, but I'm also like, why does she like do this to herself?
I just think I don't understand. I feel like there has to be some inner workings going on here that are above me. Because even like I saw this warning, I think, of even her sister Kim was just like, you know, like I applaud Khloe for like being able
I know the clip you mean.
Even though that man has embarrassed her so many times. And I'm like,
humiliated her.
That's what he said. I was like, maybe Chris has a plan. You know, maybe there's like some marketing. Maybe this is how Khloe stays relevant, because she doesn't do anything else anyway. Like the rest of the sisters be having their
intentionally post a poorly facetuned pic just so it can go viral about how it's been facetuned, and like that's it.
I have no idea. I have nothing.
I mean, that's their business. Yeah,
not my business. Clipped. Just thought y'all should know, because we had to know. So here you go.
Dude, I know Jordan is laughing somewhere though. I know Jordan.
Thinking
has
about
to be
that too.
Up.
We talked about
the way
Jordan
cut her off. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. They cut her off. Just for him to do this again and again.
Oh. That's why I'm saying, Chris.
Anyways.
I don't know. Anywho,
yeah.
Moving on. We're gonna get into the content of the episode now. We're gonna chat all about those post grad feels again that people don't talk about enough. And it's been 2 months now since we graduated. Like a lot. It's been like a roller coaster.
Wait, don't even say that. Don't even say that. It's crazy. 2 months.
Think about time.
2 months.
Don't think about time for too long. Honestly, it's just. How did you feel? Like immediately after graduation, like what was the initial feelings of like being a college graduate? How did that sit with you?
You mean like day of type shit, or you
not
mean,
day
like,
of, because we know day of was too stressful. I'm talking about like
day of, I honestly had no feelings no feelings, just vibes. Like day of, I was just moving. I feel like the days that followed, I was like, it hit me more when like my family got emotional about it, because it really didn't hit me. Like it didn't hit me for a long time, and I still think it's like slowly becoming real that I'm like, oh, like that happened, and like I'm done with school indefinitely or maybe forever.
Yeah.
But when my mom like cried about it, and like my great grandma was like I went the following day, I actually was so cute because my great grandma couldn't go because she has Alzheimer's and she lives in Brooklyn. So I put my robe back on the following day, and I like went to see her and like showed her it, and she like sometimes, you know, she's forgetful and like she's not aware of like what's happening, but like we had the most like present moment I've had with her in a long time. And she was just like, I know you looked beautiful yesterday. Like, I always prayed that I would get to see so as many generations of my family as possible graduate. Like, I'm so proud of you. Like, thank you for coming to do this with me. Then she was like, so you got to get a job. And I was like, okay, yes, I do get a job. But I told her, I was like, yeah, I have to find somewhere to live too. And she was like, in a very Caribbean way, like, you have to find somewhere to live. You're moving out. You're not going to live with your family.
That's so silly.
So it was that, I think, honestly, that moment did it in for me, where I was just like, oh, like, this means a lot for my family. Like, absolutely. And I get why, like, thinking about the why it would make them more emotional than it was making me in real time was like, wow, like, this is a big deal. Like, this actually happened. So that was cool. But otherwise, it was like, it still is hitting me on a personal level. Like, I don't even know, like, what happened to us. Like, I don't even know what we did.
That makes sense. I feel like day of was definitely, like, all about survival. Like, I really was just, like, trying to get through, like, the day, which, again, we said was why we couldn't, like, experience any mm-hmm. of the emotions. Honestly, all of college just felt like survival.
Like that, really, yeah.
Yeah, I really just felt like I was trying to push through and just make it out. So when I did finally make it out, there was like a sense of relief, definitely, maybe, that came from it, of just not having to be in college anymore, especially yeah. at that institution specifically. But the thing that you said about family really stuck with me, just because there was so much of my family there. And I felt so well loved, I think, following graduation, or I felt like seeing other people be proud of me, or like have... I don't know, like having that much love and support around me, and that many people who believed in me, and people who were like excited to see me succeed, and also people who had invested so much in my education, just made me feel like I had like made an accomplishment, you know?
And right.
It didn't really feel like an accomplishment in my head, again, because I was just so focused on like survival and getting through, and you got to graduate.
Yeah,
and
this.
And it was very like task oriented. But once I sat down again, it took a couple of days, maybe like the first week, I was just like, huh,
like that happened. Yeah.
Maybe that was cool. I'm glad that it's over, but I'm very like grateful for that experience. And I feel like I felt a lot of gratitude as well, I think, for the college experience and everything that I learned as well. And like immediately following graduation, like, I mean, I think like 3 or 4 days after, I got 3 tattoos to like commemorate my college like graduation experience. They were all like 3 like pivotal things, I think, that were central to how I will like live the rest of my life going forward. And I learned so much about myself like during those 4 years, or the person that I entered college as and left college as, or like two, I don't want to call them 2 different people, because I'm really working on like carrying like little pieces of myself as I go along. But freshman year me would be so happy with how senior me turned out. And I was really grateful for those lessons that I learned like along the way.
Oh my God, beautiful. Okay. So happy for you. Look at you growing, flourishing. We love growth.
We love a good growth, a good blossoming. What do you think? What do you think you'll remember most when you reflect on your college experience?
What will I remember most? The people I met, like, and like the, I will say, like, I definitely downplay the class part of it. Like, sometimes you forget that you go to college to learn first and not like make friends. But I think the people I met first, like, for better or worse, the crazies and the best.
Truly,
for better or worse. I think what you were saying about like how we learned about ourselves, I think that's how I learned the most, through my interactions with people and through the ones that I liked, through the ones that I didn't, you know, taking stock of all of those feelings that arose from the conversations I had with folks, things that I would learn from them, things that I admired about people, things that even like if I ever found myself like envious of something someone was doing, like really unpacking that and being like, okay, what does that mean about me? And like, what is it that I like that they're doing? How can I support it? And also sort of find whatever I'm looking for in them for myself. So I think those were really good for me, like in terms of like helping me sort of think outside of the box of things that I thought I was capable of, and friendships I thought I was capable of having. So I think that was my, what I'll remember most. And I'll also remember some dope classes. Like, I intentionally, some background, I declared the Africana major in my last semester of college, like, which was not normal. And normally you don't declare a double major like at the end, but I accidentally finished it. Like, I did it because I intentionally took a Black class every semester and I finished the major that way. So I only brought that up because like I really was intentional about like getting my Black fill, having a Black professor every semester. And I think those were the people I'll remember most. Like, I learned so much from them. I'm referencing those classes all the time, like in regular conversation to the annoyance of my friends and my family, but like, I'm thinking about them all the time. So I think I'll really remember those too.
That's wonderful. I think that's one of my biggest regrets from college, honestly. I don't think I ever had a single Black professor.
Really?
Ever. Wow. I was in sustainable development. That is a very, like, very white major.
Wow, that's sad. Yeah.
Sorry. It was very sad. It's okay. But I think one of my big regrets I think about college was like not taking as many fun classes. Mm-hmm. Not fun, but like, you know, like classes that I was genuinely interested in. Mm. I think once I realized that I could get through my classes doing the bare minimum, I just kept doing the bare minimum and I did well. And that was it.
I feel that. No, like they don't. Once it's easy. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Once it's like, I feel like you rule out the school part of college like fast. And like quickly. Stop doing the readings. Like once you realize you can just kind of skate through, it becomes less about learning, which I think that's a regret of mine too. Like, even though I did do a lot of the readings a lot of the readings that I reference now, I didn't actually read, but rather just like remember the discussions of them in class. But like, I do wish a little bit that I had devoted some more time to the books, a little bit, because I do think that I want to be one of those people that can reference all of those arbitrary as like literature. And I just don't feel that way.
Not the Iliad, though. Oh, wait,
oh, no, I didn't have to read that.
But not those. Not the old white men, but definitely like I did a class called Affect and Activism. And again, this is towards the end of my college experience. Honestly, my best classes were Barnard classes. Shout out Barnard, truly. Yep. But that one was when I finally like decided to do the readings. Like, this was a summer class. It was like a short one, like right before senior year. And I was like, I will do all the readings for this class. And I enjoyed it so much.
Wow. Look at us being nerds. People are going to click out this episode. They said, what?
No, truly, because it was things that I was actually interested. Like, I read Audre Lorde for the first time in that class, and she was talking about, and I've actually referenced that on this podcast. One of Audre Lorde on anger was the from that class.
Or the anger one. Yeah, I remember.
So like those type of like readings where I was like, this actually like means something to me. It's really cool. Cause also I keep thinking about like what got me into college in the first place is that like you were a nerd, Lauren, like you read all the time for fun and you lost that, but I still like miss reading and I enjoy learning and I enjoy having like, you know, like new information. And that definitely doesn't have to stop now that I'm out of college, but having the structure or like a time that was devoted solely for me to like learn. Mm-hmm. I feel like I didn't take full advantage of that.
I feel that. I feel that. It's definitely a process now of like relearning how to learn on your own. Like knowing that no one's going to formally teach you things, but that you still have things that you want to know and still things that you want to become familiar with is like, okay, what, how does that look? Like, how do I seek knowledge out in a way like that? Like, how do I have, you know, intellectual discussions with people that, you know, want to, not in a corny way, but like,
no, truly,
how do I keep learning life? You know, I remember my dad always used to say, like, I'm not going to quote him right now, but like, he always used to talk about how, like, you're learning your whole life, you're a student forever. Mm-hmm. And like, it's sort of up to you how good of a student you are when there's nobody to watch you and to tell you what you have to learn. And it's really, I mean, we're lucky that we live in an age where information is so accessible. Like, that really is a blessing. I don't know if we think about that all the time. Like, it wasn't always this way, but it is like, damn, if I don't seek it out, then I'm a fool. Like, so how do I do that? And like, where do I start? And like, what are the things I want to learn? Like, all of those are questions I'm definitely asking myself right now.
Exactly.
Exciting, but also daunting.
Exactly. No, it is exciting and it is daunting. And that is definitely like the types of questions I'm asking myself as well. And also like with learning specifically, but also with structuring my time is something that's also been really interesting. Because you know, it's like my whole days were structured, you know, it was like class and then you have lunch and then you do another class and blah, blah. And like, I realized about myself that I really like thrive in schedules or I really like having like, you know, time planned out. And these past 2 months, especially that first month, June was rocky. June was rough because it was just.
I don't even know what I did.
June didn't feel real. Like I felt like a sim the entire time. That's what I tell myself. Like it just felt like a strange limbo, like being idle, or it felt like I was like waiting for the next chapter to start. I was like waiting for like, I don't know, like something to happen or somebody to tell me that this is what I needed to do next, or like, you know, for like a clear marker of what the next time period looked like. And without having that, I was just kind of like sitting around, and I was like, I have all this time now. This is all that I've wanted, was to have time, I guess, to rest and to do your passions and find some hobbies. And I was like, I can't move.
It's like, now what? Literally. But honestly though, I think that's like perfect. Like, I feel like my advice, not one thing I've learned and I'm still learning, is like, take the time off after you graduate. Like, if you can, if you can afford to, even if it means going back home, which I know a lot of people don't want to do, like, take a minute, like, take a breather, take a beat, because, like, we don't realize how, like, beat down we are. Like, we're constantly going in college, and, like, there's constantly something to do, something to think of, an application you have to work on, like, you're trying to build your resume, you're trying to make friends, you're trying to be in clubs, you know, trying to pass all your classes, like, it's a lot, and it's, like,
it's so much.
You need to breathe a little bit, you really need to breathe, and, like, just think about, like, all of these questions that we're asking ourselves right now, like, you really have to sit and, like, sit with yourself and answer them for yourself, or, like, and know that nobody else can do it for you. Like,
exactly.
And I think that's really the realization I had to have. Like, no matter how many conversations I have with my parents on the phone where I am crying and, like, thinking through all this stuff, like, nobody can tell me
exactly,
like, what to do, you know? And even if they tell me, like, it's still up to me to, like, what do I want to do? Like, how do I feel about it? Like, what is exciting to me right now? Like, it's so, so much, and like, there's so many options. Yeah. And it's, I like, know. It really is terrifying.
It's terrifying.
But it's also great.
But it's exciting. I was talking, my therapist was telling me recently that the feelings, like, for, like, anxiety and, like, nervousness are, like, similar, like, bodily responses to excitement. Like, literally physiologically, it's, like, similar things going on in our body when we feel both of those things. And they're just also just so closely connected. You don't get jittery when you're excited, you also get jittery when you're nervous or anxious and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's just been, I think what you were saying, especially about productivity, or like about, you know, this constant go, 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 and finally like sitting down and having time and space to just sit and like think and like exist with yourself is really, it's a beautiful thing. Again, it's a daunting thing, and especially if you haven't like reckoned with yourself in that way in a long time, or like, college is very easy, I think, to be distracted by like the next thing that's going on. And I was like staring myself in the face, and I'm like, huh, so here we are. And it was just like,
right, like, now what?
Now what? Here it is. You know what I mean? And it's, yeah, I don't know. It's really, yeah, there's a lot going on. I think something that's been really interesting as well with like thinking about like what I will miss about college, especially, or what I really enjoyed about that, and what definitely changed like immediately once I graduated, is how close all of my friends are. Like, we were just like, I lived with all of my like roommates, like my closest friends were just like a walk away. Like, we'd get lunch together, and it was just so
crazy.
And then the next day after graduation, they were like all over the world. Like, my friend was back in Florida, like, you know, like on these trips, and like, they're not, some of them are not coming back, you know,
for
like a long time. And that's also something that people don't talk about enough with like graduating college or this transition into adulthood, is that you really don't like get that close proximity really anywhere, or even like a walkable community, like being able to like walk around. Like, that's such a privilege to have all of your basic necessities within that radius.
Within like a quarter of a mile. No, it's like, it's crazy, because we definitely found the habit for 4 years. Like, it's 6 p.m. Do you want to get dinner at 6:15? Like, right. Like, sending the text, it's going to happen. Like, I know the places are here. I know what we can expect to eat. Like, everything is predictable. And I think that's, you know, true about everything that we've been talking about so far, but especially true for our social lives. And that, like, you know that you have people to go to. Even when you feel lonely in college, you know that there is somewhere to turn to meet people that have the same experience with you. Like, there's always that commonality also of like, we all go here. We all know what this place is like, you know, whether or not you came from Morocco or Rhode Island, like, you know, there is a commonality being here. And like, you can build a friendship with anyone off of that, you know? Whereas like, now it's the task of not only everyone being far and dispersed, and all the friendships that we made, like, you know, my friend went back to Florida, to Seattle, to Morocco, to England, like all these places, but also the fact of like, you got to get better at making friends. You can't, not
but
that I
relied
on like that, like Columbia commonality, but like, who knows, the person you met might not have been gone to college. Who knows? Like, they might have a whole different life background than you. And like, that can't be the intro anymore. You can't kiki over the curriculum and like start making friends that way. So it really is like a task of of how do you find people?
It's a lot, but it's how also kind of exciting, because like, I think something that I really needed post-college is I didn't realize how much I really like existed within a bubble. Like even in terms of like what my like anxieties were, the things that I like cared about, or like everyone around me was like freaking out like about the same things, so much so that, like, my entire field of vision was just that, like, these are the things that are like so important, like these are like world ending. And then the minute that I kind of like got out of that bubble and like, I guess, out into the real world, or like I started talking to like adults more, like meeting people who were like out of college for a while, and like it was really grounding, I think, to just like see normal people, especially like the Columbia bubble specifically, and everyone's like, you know, going to these like six-figure jobs, and like everyone's like so successful, blah 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 blah, like just meeting like the average person, or just meeting like regular people and having conversations with them and seeing like what adulthood looked like outside of this Columbia like Ivy League lens was so good for me as well, in a way that I think it will be good for me in terms of like the people that I meet, in terms of the friendships that I make. And it's really valuable to me, definitely, to meet like different types and sorts of people. But it was such a good like reminder and reality check that I'm like,
I feel that
the entire world is not Columbia.
Like, right. No, honestly though, sorry, not to cut you off, but like, I think that was a hard part for me at Columbia. Like, not even an affirming part, in the way that like, obviously there were moments where that commonality was helpful, like we were talking about, but something socially for me at school that was really a challenge is that everyone at that school, to me, not everyone, obviously we're homies now and like I have friends, but so many people that I met at this school were so bizarre, and I had a hard time, to be completely honest, like getting to know people, because it didn't feel like people knew how to do that. Like it didn't feel like a lot of people were at that school to make friends, whether or not they wanted to, whether it was like a matter of just not knowing how, or like not wanting to at all. It often felt like, you know, Columbia parties were like networking events. Like, why are we talking about, like, this is like a LinkedIn gathering. So honestly, it's been very nice. It's been so nice to like, just be on the block. And like, especially since I moved here, like to talk to the elders that are just like sitting on their stoop about shit that like actually matters. Whereas like, I got so tired of talking about like a grade or a GPA or like what you're doing after you graduate, or how many clubs you're in, or like this company you just started, or like whatever. Like, you know, it was cool, but it was just like,
it's such a specific environment.
Yeah, we've talked about this, but it didn't feel like that place. Like, I think what's interesting for us is with that's different from a lot of other colleges is that there's no school spirit at Columbia. There's no sense of camaraderie in a way that I think a lot of other schools have. Mm-hmm. And so people graduate and they don't really feel tied to that place, like in a way that a lot of other schools do. You know, there's things that they remember. Like, it's even interesting that we even talk about the things that, you know, we'll cherish as being like things that we did there. It's like things that happened at the school, but not like by the school, not because of them, not like a homecoming game, not a, you know, not a pep rally. Like, none of those things were things that we engaged with. So I think in some ways that was a blessing, because we really were tasked with like, you had to fight to make a relationship with that school. Like, you had to fight to really like make a friend, like, because otherwise you could have so many acquaintances and no one that knew you, you know? And so like, you really had to fight, and like, that was a challenge. And I think I honestly, like, in some ways it helped me grow socially, but in some ways it definitely stunted my like social skills. Like, being there, so weird, so odd. I'm now having to like relearn, like, who am I socially? Who do I like to be in social spaces? I feel like I was more introverted at that school than I've ever been in my life. And it's not because I'm an introvert. It's just because I like increasingly have less and less of a desire to connect with you in there. So now it's like reminding myself, like, I actually love talking to people and meeting people. Like, I just really like to do it there. And like, so now what does that look like on my own terms has been like fun to figure out. I feel like I'm meeting myself again, which is
absolutely cool. I was gonna say, that's cool. I'm glad that's an exciting thing for us to be going through, and I think it'll be good for us in the long term. That's an exciting thing about adulthood, and what we've learned from that place about what not to do, or who not to hang around if we can help it.
I learned a lot about them from the weirdos, I'm telling you. Like, the weirdos. I learned a lot from them.
That's fair. We can talk. Do you want to talk now about our post-grad plans then? About what it's going to look like? Do you want to go first?
Okay, I can go first. So, well, right now I'm jobless as of Monday.
Love that for you.
Really great. I got 2 months off, and I cannot wait to just, like, do the bare minimum. But my plans are, I'm going corporate, y'all. I got a little corporate job lined up. I'm starting September 9th. It's a consulting job. Ultimately, I mean, first of all, for anyone who's thinking about careers, like, feel free to DM me. I don't know shit, but I'll tell you everything that I do know. But ultimately, my thought process behind going into consulting was, like, I've done a lot of creative shit so far. I really want to learn how to do business. I don't really want to get an MBA. I don't even see myself, you know, I hate the whole, like, capitalist thing, da, 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 but I also have seen a lot of contexts in which, you know, people have really great ideas that would help the community a lot and are stunted by the fact that they don't know how to, like, sell it. Mm-hmm. And they don't know how to, like, think strategically about it. And I can't be in that position, like, 5 years down the line where I have something that could be huge and I just am like, I don't actually know how it's supposed to be done. So that's the thought. That's the goal.
I understand the vision. Well.
Yes.
There we go. I think it's funny. So I'm about to do, like, the opposite of what McKean's doing, because I, throughout college, I did a lot of, like, DEI, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion. So kind of like, I studied, like, climate change and social justice with sustainable development. So yeah, some of my internships were about, like, putting that towards companies, and I just did not enjoy, like, sustainability and, like, corporate social responsibility whatsoever. But I really, I thought that I was going to have to go in that to secure a check, or just, like, cause that's what people do, you know? And I was really excited because I've been doing a fellowship in documentary filmmaking with this nonprofit, and they've been so amazing, basically. And I've been making a documentary about housing injustice in Red Hook, Brooklyn, a lot going on there. But they want to hire me for the next year for a full-time position. It's basically like another year of a fellowship, kind of, but to make another documentary or to foster those, like, journalism skills and, like, production skills and find, like, the creative side of, like, sustainability and things like that. So I'm very excited about
that. We love to see our favorite documentary maker.
I just love film so much, and I've taken some acting classes in my last semester. I love acting too. So I was like, Don't get me started. I'm coming for you. I'm so sorry.
Zendaya, if you're listening, please be a guest on the podcast and let Lauren be a guest star on Euphoria.
I would love that. I could be your cousin, maybe. Perhaps. It's fun. Do you think that this is what you thought that you were going to be doing?
No. Like,
freshman year you, if she could see you now, what would she think?
No, first of all, I didn't know what consulting was before February of this year. Did not know. Like, love wasn't that on my radar. Like, I've heard people say it. I did not know. So, not at all. I didn't see myself being a corporate person at all. But now that I think about it, like, and now that I think about the things that I knew about myself when I was little, like, I've always been a little bit of a problem. Like, I really always have been a, like, I'm always about a bag, which is crazy. Like, since I was, like, a baby, like, since I was little, I always was thinking of, like, business ideas and, like, things that I would create. I would tell my dad what he should invest in. I didn't even know, like, what investing was. So, like, I do think it makes sense.
It does make
like,
sense.
I really do think it, like, in the larger trajectory of my life, it adds up. I always thought that I would be doing something more in the, like, creative space or in the, like, social good DI space, which in the long run I still see for myself. So I, like, this is just sort of a left turn I didn't expect, but we're still on track, you know, we're taking the scenic route.
That makes sense. No, I think this is a good path. It makes sense.
Is this what you thought you were doing?
No, it's what I hoped I'd be doing, but I didn't think it was gonna happen. I don't know if I've talked about this before. I came into college biochemistry because my mom wanted me to be a doctor.
I can't say that, I'm shocked. Oh yeah,
thank you.
The last episode.
The last episode. My mom was just like, I thought you were going to be a doctor. I'm like, girl.
And then she'd be like, look at me.
Silly. Oh, love you, mom, if you're listening. You're probably not. But yeah, so basically I ended up being a STEM queen. Sustainable development is still technically STEM.
Okay.
Loved climate change and stuff. But I don't know. I think the moment when the pandemic happened and I got, like, that's when I started the Eco Justice Project and we started the podcast.
Yes.
But I started, like, a panel series as well with, like, an internship I was doing with Columbia. And I really, really enjoyed, like journalism and, like, being involved with, like, climate in a creative way. And I found that those outlets, like, for talking about climate change or even just, like, chatting and, like, being, like, more engaging, like, storytelling started to stand out to me a lot more of as what I really cared about, like, within the, like, context of climate change. But I don't know, I thinking about it now, I'm like, this makes so much sense for me.
It does. It really does.
What I wanted.
My God, dreams realized. We love to see
dreams becoming true. What can we say? Aww. Also, if like high school me saw that I was like living in New York and as well, like she would be like, look at her go.
Like, wow.
From my like tiny island, just being like, I just want to leave. And I'm like big city girl, like walking around with my headphones, like and my bangs.
Yes, like, the bang moment.
I got bangs.
We love it.
She'd be like, who is she? Love that.
I love this. Okay, look at us. Oh my God, no, I definitely think I would love for, I'm first of all, I wish we met as children. I really think it would be funny to see.
I feel like we get along.
Yeah, but I do see like Pat and me also being like, wow, who would have thought? You're like, you're a girl boss.
That's it. I think childhood you was already a girl boss.
Honestly, yeah. I'm like, God, I can't even tell you. I bought a DS because I used to charge everyone for swearing. And like, I was hard about it, like to the point where everyone had to listen. And I bought a DS just from charging my uncle. Like I always was finding money. Like, I just always like to have money that I didn't have to ask my parents for.
That's fair. I've also always really liked money. That's fair. But yeah. I'm a little bit, I might sacrifice it for now. We'll see.
We love that too. okay, well, shall we just wrap there?
I think so. Let's wrap it up there.
I think that's perfect.
I think a good wrap-up question before we get into what's bringing us joy is, what do you think you're most excited for this like next chapter of your life? You can add in like your biggest fears, but we've already talked about those. I think like, what's like the most exciting thing about
I just feel like, honestly, I think meeting new people, like my grandma says a lot. So when God doesn't speak, he'll send, and he'll speak to you through the people that he sends into your life. And I feel like that's kind of been the theme for like July so far for me. And like, I love meeting people. I'm like, I've really reignited that like enjoyment since I've left school. Just like I told you, I was like tired of the people I met there. Like, I was over it. I didn't want to meet nobody else. And I feel like I'm just so excited to like be in the world again and like make new connections with people, not even on some like networking shit. I just like love to like hear people's stories, like how they ended up where they are. Like, I don't know, there's so much to learn from interaction. The sociology major in me also like just loves to like see how people are the way that they are and like how they exist in the world. So I think that's what I'm most excited about, like outside of the new apartment or a new job or whatever, or like having money, like just like meeting folks and like talking to them. I feel like I have so much to learn.
That makes sense. I agree with that. I definitely would say the same. And I'm also very excited for how much I feel like I'm going to learn about myself. Like even this job as it is itself, I'm going to be doing things that I'd never done before. Like I'm going to be a producer on some people's document. Like, what does that even mean? I don't even know what a producer does, but I will find out. I will be producing and being creative, but also I will be like investing in myself in like a very like, I don't know, like an indulgent way that I didn't really get to do in college. Like, I'm really going to be like, I want to go and explore this, like part of myself. I want to like read some books, like learn on my own terms, meet new people, like just have like new experiences. I think I'm very excited.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to maximize the amount of new experiences that I can have like intentionally, which is going to feel very exciting. And I think I'll learn a lot. Yeah. About myself through that. It'll be really fun and funky. It'll be good.
Okay, wow, well, this is perfect. Okay, let's bring us joy. Let's do that. Let's wrap it up.
I'll go first. I have one.
You wanna go?
Well, this is technically a cop-out because it already passed, but my 21st birthday was two weeks ago. It was July 7th, so if you haven't wished me happy birthday already, you can do that. I really enjoyed my birthday. I had a lovely birthday party. McKean was there, and it was
great.
My friends threw me a little like surprise party, even though it wasn't really that much of a surprise party because I live with them, so I knew that there was something afoot, but I didn't know what the party itself was going to be. And it was really cute. Everyone, like, we did like kind of like a sip and paint type thing, and everyone painted photos of me, and they all came out so cute, and I'm gonna put them on my wall. And then my boyfriend and I went on a vacation afterwards, and we went to New Orleans, which was lovely. Ooh. So swampy and hot, though, that temperature.
Ooh.
But Bourbon Street was very fun, and I drank so much. And then we went to Mexico, and it was also great.
Wow. Yeah. Incredible. Living your absolute
life. What can I say?
I love this for you. Shoot, I don't know how I'm going to follow that up.
How about your veggie garden? I kind of want people to know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't start yet, but okay, what's bringing joy is my new apartment. I moved it like 2 weeks ago now, which is like insane because I still don't have furniture, but in spite of that, I really love it. It was great life. I like am free of some roommate drama that I had to deal with the past year. It's in a great place. And like Lauren said, I get to plant my vegetables, which you guys probably remember me if you listened to the last season. Boom, last season, I was talking about it a lot. Like last summer, I talked about my veggies as what was bringing me joy every day. So
it's going to be that again. And I love it.
It's going to be my closing of every episode is an update on my vegetables.
I'm going to come visit you in Bed-Stuy and just like pick the veggies.
Oh my God, literally. Anytime. Of course. I'll let you know. I'm hoping to plant them early next week. So I'll have some picks.
So excited. Okay. Well, that is all that we have for you guys today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Yeah, this was a lot today.
Yeah, much needed. Lots to unpack, all of the feelings. Like, and let us know. Like, I know that a lot of y'all have either recently graduated or are about to graduate. So I know the podcast could be often one way, but we are totally open to talk to anybody about whether it's Columbia specific, whether it's graduation questions, whether it's career questions. Like, reach out. We'd love to hear from y'all and where you guys are at.
And yeah, just make sure you keep up with us. You can DM us on Instagram at Black Girl Blueprint. We also have Twitter at B-Girl Blueprint. We have a TikTok as well at Black Girl Blueprint. Mm-hmm. And just engage with us on there. We love to chat, like obviously. And yeah. We never shut up. So just obviously. Talk to us a little more. And
yeah, if you want to leave us a little 5 stars, if you really like this. If you didn't like it, just find out.
You don't need to tell us that it wasn't for you in a review. But if you did, then you can let us know. Or if you have episode ideas, things that you want us to chat about, we're also always welcome to hearing those. And you can subscribe too, so you get notified when we drop in case we go on a hiatus again.
Exactly.
You know? Look out.
Anyway.
We will see you all.
We'll see y'all next episode.
Bye.